Yamanam Nagrinanti
Yamanam Nagrinanti
Vinamat Sevanam Jana
Vinamat Sevanam Jana
Salokya Shasti Samipya
Salokya Shasti Samipya
Sarupyai Katvam Apyuta
Sarupyai Katvam Apyuta
Diyamanam Nagrinanti
Diyamanam Nagrinanti
Vinamat Sevanam Janaha
Vinamat Sevanam Janaha
Salokya
Salokya
Living on the same planet.
Living on the same planet.
Shashti.
Shashti.
Having the same opulence.
Having the same opulence.
Samipya.
Samipya.
To be a personal associate.
To be a personal associate.
Sarupya.
Sarupya.
Having the same bodily features.
Having the same bodily features.
Ekatvam.
Ekatvam.
Oneness.
Oneness.
Api.
Api.
Also.
Also.
Uta.
Uta.
Even.
Even.
Diyamanam.
Diyamanam.
Being offered.
Being offered.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Grinanti.
Grinanti.
Do accept.
Do accept.
Vina.
Vina.
Without.
Without.
Mat.
Mat.
My.
My.
Sevanam.
Sevanam.
Devotional service.
Devotional service.
Janaha.
Janaha.
Pure devotees.
Pure devotees.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A pure devotee does not accept any kind of liberation, salokya, shashti, samipya, sarupya, or ekatva, even though they are offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation responsibly. A pure devotee does not accept any kind of liberation.
Any kind of liberation.
Salokya.
Salokya.
Shashti.
Shashti.
Samipya.
Samipya.
Sarupya.
Sarupya.
Or ekatva.
Or ekatva.
Even though they are offered.
Even though they are offered.
By the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
By the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Purport. Lord Chaitanya teaches us how to execute pure devotional service out of spontaneous love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Shikshastika, he prays to the Lord, O Lord, I do not wish to gain from you any wealth, nor do I wish to have a beautiful wife, nor do I wish to have many followers. All I want from you is that in life after life I may remain a pure devotee at your lotus feet. There is a similarity between the prayers of Lord Chaitanya and the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya prays in life after life, indicating that a devotee does not even desire the cessation of birth and death. The yogis and empiric philosophers desire cessation of the process of birth and death, but a devotee is satisfied to remain even in this material world and execute devotional service. It is clearly stated herein that a pure devotee does not desire ekatva, oneness with the Supreme Lord, as desired by the impersonalists, the mental speculators, and the mediators. The meditators. To become one with the Supreme Lord is beyond the dream of a pure devotee. Sometimes he may accept promotion to the Vaikuntha planets to serve the Lord there, but he will never accept merging into the Brahman effulgence, which he considers worse than hellish. Such ekatva, or merging into the effulgence of the Supreme Lord, is called kaivalya. But the happiness derived from kaivalya is considered by the pure devotee to be hellish. The devotee is so fond of rendering service to the Supreme Lord that the five kinds of liberation are not important to him. If one is engaged in pure transcendental loving service to the Lord, it is understood that he has already achieved the five kinds of liberation. When a devotee is promoted to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, he receives four kinds of facilities. One of these is Salokya, living on the same planet as the Supreme Personality. The Supreme Person, in his different planetary expansions, lives on innumerable Vaikuntha planets, and the chief planet is Krishna Loka. Just as within the material universe the chief planet is the sun, in the spiritual world the chief planet is Krishna Loka. From Krishna Loka, the bodily effulgence of Lord Krishna is distributed not only to the spiritual world, but to the material world as well. It is covered by matter. However, in the material world, in the spiritual world, there are innumerable Vaikuntha planets, and on each one, the Lord is the predominating deity. A devotee can be promoted to one such Vaikuntha planet to live with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Shashti liberation, the opulence of the devotee is equal to the opulence of the Supreme Lord. Samipya means to be the personal associate of the Supreme Lord. In Sarupya liberation, the bodily features of the devotee are exactly like those of the Supreme Person, but for two or three symptoms found exclusively on the transcendental body of the Lord. Sri Vatsa, for example, the hair on the chest of the Lord particularly distinguishes him from his devotees. A pure devotee does not accept these five kinds of spiritual existence, even if they are offered, and he certainly does not hanker after material benefits, which are all insignificant in comparison with spiritual benefits. When Prahlad Maharaj was offered some material benefit, he stated, "My Lord, I have seen that my father achieved all kinds of material benefits, and even the demigods were afraid of his opulence. But still, in a second, you have finished his life and all his material prosperity." For a devotee, there is no question of desiring any material or spiritual prosperity. He simply aspires to serve the Lord. That is his highest happiness. Omigyan Timirandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Elitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Kadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kaupata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Avanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Hare. So who is speaking here? Lord Kapila. Huh? And what is the subject? Explanation of devotional service. This is pure devotional service. Mm-hmm. So these teachings of Kapila are considered to be the most technical teachings within the Srimad Bhagavatam. Very analytical teachings. Much more analytical than any other part of the Bhagavatam, except the 11th canto. The 11th canto is also more analytical. So, Kapila Dev, his philosophy is called Sankhya. Sankhya means analysis. So it's a very deep, deep analysis. So he's gone through many subject matters. If you go through the 3rd canto, he describes creation three times. The third creation has just been described. And each time he describes it, he goes into, takes it from different angles to understand it. Now, he's just about at the end of his teachings. So now he's culminating with the goal. Now, what is the goal?
Yeah.
What is the goal of everything? Yeah. Because Lord Chaitanya has taught us that the entire Vedic teachings can be divided into three categories: sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. Prayojana means? It means the goal. It means the final destination or the final objective, the final thing that we're looking for. That is the goal. And what is the goal? Sambandha. Sambandha means relationship. Lord Chaitanya simplifies everything. In Kali Yuga, everything has to be simplified. Because in Kali Yuga, everything is difficult. We have books in Kali Yuga. Previously, we didn't even have books. Books were there, always there were books. But there was a point before Kali Yuga, people were Shruti Dara. And because people were Shruti Dara, their brains were so fertile, you could hear something once and remember it for the rest of your life. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur or Narad Muni. You know, they had this capacity. We don't have that, so everything is written. And now Kali Yuga has progressed, and now you have everything's in the cloud above us, which makes it even easier because we forget everything all the time, so you can just, and it's there. So it's like being Shruti Dara. You can just press a button and suddenly, the entire Vedic knowledge is within your iPhone. So the devotee of Krishna, he understands that Krishna Sambandha. Sambandha means relationship. How does Lord Chaitanya simplifies everything? So he says, what is Sambandha about? How do we understand Sambandha or relationship? You understand it in relation to Krishna. Right? So how does everything relate to Krishna? That is Sambandha. For a devotee, that's how we view the world. For a non-devotee, they'll view it differently, according to your vision. Atmavan, Manyate, Jagat. You will see the world according to your vision. So how do you look at the world? Just like if you're a tennis player, right? Then how will you see the whole world? Right? Everything's about tennis. Right? You see everything is related to tennis. You know, what I eat is how am I going to play tennis. Right? How I sleep is about so I get up so I can play tennis. Right? Which clothes I wear is so I can play tennis. Right? So it's just a complete absorption. So according to your vision, that's how you will see the world. So a devotee, how do we see the world? We see everything related to Krishna. Sambandha, everything is related to Krishna. So we see everything in relation to Krishna. That is called Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Has anyone heard that term before? International Society for? Yeah, if you don't know what you're doing here, that's what you're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to see Krishna everywhere, in every situation. Every situation you find yourself in life, right? Krishna has put you in that situation. Right? So sometimes you think, why am I in this situation? Because Krishna has put you there. What does he want you to learn? When things are negative in your life, does it ever happen to you? Sometimes things are negative. Does it happen once? Once or twice? Sometimes your world falls apart. Does anyone know what I'm talking about here tonight? Right? So sometimes that happens. That's Krishna doing that. Why? Because he wants you to learn something. We just like all the good lessons when everything's wonderful. When we're in the middle of an ecstatic kirtan, we just say, yeah, I just want this. But when we're in a difficult situation, that's also Krishna shaping our consciousness. Krishna is like a potter. So like a potter, he takes the clay and then he molds the clay in a particular way. So Krishna, he is molding the clay in a particular way. He wants you to change. He doesn't want you to stay as you are now, because if you stay as you are now, you can't go back to the spiritual world. So he's changing us. So this is Sambandha. Sambandha means we look at everything as being related to Krishna. We see Krishna everywhere. Actually, one devotee was asking for, I heard this last week, I think it was. One devotee was saying to Prabhupada, what does that mean? You see Krishna everywhere. Like you see Krishna, like his form in that pillar, and then you look and he's in that pillar. And then you look and he's there. Is it like that? And Prabhupada said, no, it is not like that. You see, this is Krishna's energy, and all these things can be used in Krishna's service. That's how a pure devotee sees it. Oh, this microphone, that can be used in Krishna's service. It's coming from Krishna. So that is Krishna consciousness. That is sambandha. Then abhideya means the process. So Lord Chaitanya simplifies it. He says bhakti abhideya. Right? The process to get back to Krishna is bhakti. You have to do devotional service. You do service. We're all doing service. But with devotion, with love. That is bhakti. So it means that, you know, when the class is finished, someone will come and their service is to clean the temple room. Any of us can do that. Every single one of us here can clean the temple room. Right? We have different abilities, different capacities, but we can all do it. But what Krishna wants to see is the devotee doing it with love, with devotion. Are you doing it begrudgingly? Are you cleaning the temple room because you want to do it or because you have to do it? Sometimes we do our service because we have to do it. That's not bhakti. Yeah, it's bhakti, but it's not a high level of bhakti. You want to do it. And not only you want to do it, but you've been given that service by the spiritual master, by the authorities, your senior Vaishnavas, the senior Vaishnavas. They give you that service. You take that. That is coming from Guru and Krishna, that service. So if you are given a service, then you take it that you have to do it to the best of your ability. Because Krishna himself has given you that service. Guru has given you that service. Maybe not directly, but they've given it through your spiritual authority. So then you do it to the best of your ability. So you clean the temple and you clean it. Right? Sometimes, you know, we see. I got there. Devotees already cleaned the petals, but I go up to offer obeisance to Prabhupada and I look under his feet and I see one or two petals are still there. That's not attention to detail. That means the devotee has not done the service to the best of their ability. Right? So you do the service properly. If you have a service, you do it properly for Krishna, to the best of your ability. That's bhakti. Now don't take shortcuts, don't, oh, I'm tired today. No, you do it properly. That's your service. Right? So it's bhakti abhideya. And then Lord Chaitanya says the goal is prayojana. And he says prema, prayojana. So what is the goal of our life? It is prema, Krishna prema. Right? It's to develop love for Krishna. Now everything we do, if it's not heading towards that goal, that means we're not doing the service properly. That should be our constant focus and our aspiration. Prema is a very exalted state of consciousness. We know that. Right? But still, we should be aiming for it every day. It should be very clear in our mind what the goal is. But you never get to your goal unless you're very clear what your goal is. So, the goal is prema. Prema means unalloyed love or unadulterated consciousness and motivation in service for the jiva. So, Lord Kapila, he is looking, analyzing in this section of the Bhagavatam. It's called Sankhya. So he's analyzed so many things. He analyzed the material creation, right? And he says the material creation is made of 26 elements. So he analyzes. This is matter, this is other. And then the 25th element is spirit. It is jiva, right? And then the 26th is paramatma, right? So he says, this is material, this is spiritual. Okay. So then, now he's analyzing how to get to Krishna. The abhideya, or the process. So now he's analyzing it very, very deeply. And he says, what is pure devotional service? But first he says, what is not pure devotional service? You must understand both. So he's saying here, he's making it very simple. He's just giving very simple analysis. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu based his entire teachings on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada has quoted the Shikshastika in the purport. So what is the Shikshastika? Ashta means?
Eight.
Right? Eight verses. How many verses did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally write while he was here? He was on the earth for 48 years. Right? And he was God himself. He's the Yuga avatar. How many verses did he write? Eight verses that we know of. Sometimes it says that there was another Ashtaka that he wrote as well. But eight verses. So He only wrote 8, but then he said to his disciples, he spoke to them, gave them the teachings based upon the Srimad Bhagavatam, and they said, now you elaborate upon it. So he spoke to Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami elaborated. He spoke to, don't muck around, Dwija, because I can't concentrate. He spoke to Rupa Goswami, and he said, you elaborate. And then he spoke to Sanatan Goswami, and he said, now you elaborate upon it. So if you look at the teachings of Rupa Goswami, who is said to be the principal follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the teaching he gives us is Anyabhilashita Shunyam Gyanaka Madhyanavritam Anokoyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhaktiya Uttama. That one verse is a complete synopsis or analysis of the entire process of bhakti, which has been given here in chapters and chapters and chapters by Lord Kapiladev. So he brings it all down to one verse. And that verse is called a Paribhasa Sutra, or a seed verse. And from that verse, the entire philosophy of bhakti manifests. So he says, what is bhakti? What is not bhakti? In that one verse. So we have to understand, what is bhakti? What is it? What are its characteristics? It must be free from alternate desires. Anyabhilashita shunyam. What does shunya mean? Devoid, yeah, without. Shunyam, shunya, means without, devoid. Of what? Anyabhilashita, right? Separate desires, other than to serve and please Krishna, right? If there's some separate desire, that is not pure devotional service. Now, how does that make you feel? I'm seeing symptoms of depression on the faces of some of the Vaishnavas. Oh my God. Right, now I'm in trouble. What am I doing here? So we come to the Hare Krishna movement and we're full of material desires. And now we have to weed them out. I was saying to the people on the weekend, we were preaching on the weekend at the farm, we did a yoga retreat. That's why I couldn't come to Melbourne for Ngora Purnima. So it was a big sacrifice for me, because I always, you know, like to be in the temple for Ngora Purnima. But we had preaching, so we stayed. But then Krishna reciprocated, Lord Chaitanya reciprocated, so we felt blissful. But I was explaining to them, when I first joined the Hare Krishna movement, I thought I would be a pure devotee in 2 years. That's just how I thought. I thought, you know, if I do this for 2 years, I'll just be a pure devotee. I'll fully realize I'm not the body, right? And I'll fully understand that I am Krishna's eternal servant on the spiritual platform. And now, a few years later, I'm realizing it's not that easy to understand. And the desires, they remain in the consciousness. And it's interesting. I remember Andy Rudaprabhu gave a class a long time, many years ago, and he said that basically we're dealing with the same desires over and over again. And what does Prahlad Maharaj say in the 7th canto? It is like chewing the chewed. We've already done it all before. Right? For so many lifetimes we've done exactly the same thing. It's not like the desires are new. It's not like we haven't experienced all this before. But we're still attached to exactly the same thing that we've experienced and enjoyed and suffered from perpetually for lifetime after lifetime. We're still attached to the same thing. What is that called?
Madness.
What is it?
Madness.
Very good. Pramatta. Yeah, that's a very good word. Pramatta. In Sanskrit, pramatta means mad. But another word to describe it is called avidya. Avidya means ignorance. Rupa Goswami says that is why we are in the material world. The one condition that all of us suffer from is called avidya. Avidya means ignorance. We're ignorant of who we actually are. So because of that ignorance, or that misunderstanding of who we actually are, then we act in a mad way. We don't understand who we actually are. So it is not easy to cleanse away that ignorance. It takes time. But that is the process of bhakti, destroying that ignorance, removing those material anattas, removing the material desires over time. So at least we should feel progress. At least you should feel every year, because Gaupanim is like a checking system. I joined the Hare Krishna movement the day after Gaupanim. So yesterday was my anniversary. So then, whenever that comes around, I become introspective. I look at myself. I say, how far have I come? Am I reaching my goals? And how much further do I have to go? And then by looking at it, then I can analyze. Okay, I feel my progress is good, but it is not anywhere near enough to get to the goal. So you have to become very introspective and see. So devotional service means you have to get rid of those material desires. So what is the problem we have in the material world? Everything we do is motivated. Whenever I do something, there's a motivation. Every day, even in our service to Krishna, there is a motivation. It is not pure. So we have to analyze, what is it that I'm not doing? Right? And begin to remove those things. Now, if you are sincere, hands up if you are sincere in Krishna consciousness. Okay, the Matajis are and the Prabhus are not. The men don't put up their hand, because men are overcomplicated. Right? Women are just very simplistic. They just, are you sincere? I say, yeah, I'm sincere. And men will say, well, am I sincere? Or could I be sincere? Or is it like, you know, what does sincere actually mean? Right. So I'll ask again, are you sincere in Krishna consciousness? Of course we're sincere, otherwise we wouldn't be here. Right? Why do we shave our heads and, you know, do all this thing? Why do we commit ourselves? We are sincere. So the point is that we must be sincere, and if you are sincere, right, in trying to get to Krishna, right, like, you know, we're trying to get to Krishna, right, even though we're not very good at doing it, but we're trying to get to Krishna sincerely. Krishna will help us. He says that in the, or actually, Prabhupada says that in the second chapter of the first canto, in all the famous verses, Nascha Prayeshva Bhadreshu Nicham Bhagavata Sevaya. It's either in that verse or the purport of Srimvatam Swakata Krishna Punyashvava. It's in one of those purports. I can't remember which one. But Srila Prabhupada says, if the devotee is sincerely trying to overcome his material desires, Krishna will help him from within the heart. So when you've been practicing devotional service for some time and you begin to realize it's not as easy as you thought it was going to be, and you realize that getting rid of the material desires is not as easy as you thought it would be, then you come to the realization, I just have to try my best, and then Krishna will make an arrangement to remove those things. And how will he make that arrangement? What will he do to you?
Take things away.
Yeah, take things away. And?
He will make you suffer.
Very good. He will make you suffer. So it's coming. Hands up if you're happy about the agreement. Arjun put his hand up. Everyone else is like, oh my God. What did I get myself into? I actually joined this movement to be peaceful. That's why I joined. I joined because, you know, material world was burning me. I mean, I walked in here the first time. I sat outside on the bench there for about half an hour. There was no one around. Back, the temple was different back then. It was more quiet. And Jagannath Balabhapur, he was walking from the, it was in the morning, from the paraphernalia room to the deity room. He was walking back and forth. He was doing service with the deities, you know, taking things in and out. And he just walked past me, and every time he walked past, he'd just look at me. He wouldn't say anything. And then he'd go back, and then he'd come back about four or five times. And I thought, wow, that he's a monk. That he's self-realized, he doesn't even talk. He's like, wow, and I'm just looking, I'm just like, wow, this is amazing. You know, this guy's like in another universe, you know, I'm just sitting there. And then he went and got some Mataji and he said, you know, can you talk to him? Because he's a little shy by nature. So So then, you know, some Mataji came, she began to preach to me. And so when I saw him, he was the first devotee I saw. I thought, I want to be like him, peaceful. I just thought, he's so peaceful, just absorbed in another world. I want to be like that. So I thought, yes, I'll join. So I joined about 4 or 5 days later, moved into the temple. I met the temple president, Balaram Prabhu, before Aniruddha Prabhu. And then I said, I want to move in. I want to join. I just walked into the temple. He said, you can't just move in. You know, we don't even know who you are, anything. I said, no, I'm coming every day, so you let me move in. Then I don't have to go home every day. I can just stay here. I convinced him, so he let me move in. So I moved into the temple. I thought I was going to be peaceful. Right? I haven't been peaceful since. Right? Then they said, go to Crossways. I thought, oh, okay. So I said, what's Crossways? I said, just go. Okay. So I went to Crossways. Right? Then they said, now you'll do book distribution. Go and do book distribution. So for many years I was Sankirtan, collecting and, you know, selling books for Krishna. So they said, go and do that. So it wasn't peaceful. You had to be like a warrior. Srila Prabhupada said, be like a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. When you go out on the street, you're like a lion to spread Krishna consciousness. You have to battle. You have to fight. You have to be in the warrior spirit. When you come home, you're like a lamb at the temple. But when you go out, then. So that was our, that's our peace. And that's how a devotee is peaceful. He's peaceful when he's serving Krishna like that. So, the point is that we have to give up material desires over time. And if you just sincerely serve Krishna, Krishna will help you from within the heart. And how will he do that? He will do that by suffering. It will come. You don't have to worry. Everyone, I can see everyone's a little concerned. You don't have to worry because it doesn't usually come now. It comes later. Because we're not ready for it yet. But when you're ready for it, Krishna will give it to you. To remove, or as Mataji said, to remove your material desires. He will take your material desires. Even when you don't want him to. Sometimes he does it faster than what you want. Right? And then you come to see him. You come in the temple, you offer your obeisances, and you look at him and say, why did you do that? Right? And he just smiles at you. He just says, he does it when he wants to do it. So he removes our material desire. He will help us to bring us back to him. So that is the process of bhakti. So here, Kapila has analyzed many things. Now he's analyzing bhakti itself. So he says, what is not bhakti? What is bhakti? Right? So it's interesting. This section is very important, very relevant. So if you go back a few verses, he says, what is not bhakti? Bhakti is... pure bhakti or pure devotional service cannot be mixed with the three modes of material nature. And he gives very important verses to describe devotional service under the influence of ignorance, passion and goodness. And this is very important. It's quite overlooked quite often by devotees. Devotees think everything we do is devotional service or pure devotional service. It's not. Devotional service can be mixed. Right? So he says here, this is devotional service in the mode of ignorance. Right? You may relate to this. Right? Devotional service executed by a person who is envious, proud, violent, and angry, and who is a separatist, is considered to be in the mode of darkness. Can you relate to any of that? Are we sometimes envious? Sometimes envious? For the other devotees? We're supposed to be helping devotees go to Krishna. Sometimes we pull devotees back, or we obstruct, or we jump in the front of them. That's envy. Right? Proud. Right? This is one of our biggest anattas. Proud. I will serve the guru. I will serve Krishna. I will, like that. But the mood in the spiritual, we push the other devotees forward. It takes a long time to overcome this mentality. Sometimes I see gurus come, and you can see, like, the guru is walking, the disciples behind him, and it's like a wrestling match or something going on behind him. Yeah, everyone's like trying to get next to the guru. Yeah, and then the guru looks around, everyone's like, you know. Or as I've seen before, I've seen like a guru sitting here giving class and there's like a temple full of devotees and someone will come to give the guru a glass of water and literally step over all the devotees. Now step over all of those to serve the guru. That's pride. Because I gave the cup of water to the guru. That's material consciousness. Violent and angry, and who is a separatist. So it's interesting. Right? So when you become too concerned about yourself, you're a separatist. Right? I have to make my spiritual advancement. I have to chant my rounds. I have to read the Shastra. Right? But sometimes we don't treat the other devotees very well in the meantime. So it's a fine balance, because you do have to do those things. And you do have to be intense to make advancement in devotional service. But at the same time, you have to treat the other devotees properly while we're doing that. So now we'll read the mode of passion. It's interesting, the mode of passion, it's not so dissimilar from the mode of ignorance. The worship of the deities in the temple by a separatist. Interesting. Mode of ignorance, what's the symptom? Separatist. Mode of passion? Separate. It's a big problem in devotional service. What did Prabhupada say when he left the planet? Prabhupada said, the proof of how much you love me, right? And we all love Prabhupada. He said, the proof of how much you love me is how you will all cooperate once I am gone. Right? He said that. Right? How much we all cooperate. That's the one thing Prabhupada left us with. He said, okay, here's the mission. He said, at least maintain it. If you can, expand it. Right? And ISKCON's expanded so much. So, you know, Prabhupada would be very pleased. But he said, cooperate. Right? And what's the mood of the devotee in ignorance and passion? Separatist. Doesn't cooperate with the other devotees. Prabhupada said, nothing can stop our movement externally. It is only internally. When the devotees don't get along. When they don't fully surrender to the Crossways manager. So the worship of the deities in the temple by separatists with a motive for material enjoyment, fame and opulence is devotional service in the mode of passion. So we're doing devotional service, but we want enjoyment, right? We want to enjoy. I'll do devotional service as long as I get this, this, this and this, right? I have to get all the avocados at breakfast time. Right? Don't you take my avocado. Yeah, and then all the devotees run down after class. They all run down, they stash their puris and their curd sabji and everything like that. It's not really the mood of a selfless devotee. You should bring the prasadam up and serve the other devotees. Don't just think of yourself. So with a motive for material enjoyment, fame, right? That's in all of us. We all want to be famous. And opulence. Right? Sometimes in devotional service, we're motivated because when you become a more advanced devotee, people give you material facility, but then you become attached. I'll do my devotional service because I'm getting money and everyone gives me watches, right? And they give me nice jumpers and they give me Birkenstock shoes. I get Mac computers, right? These things happen. You start getting these things. And then that becomes your motive in devotional service. I'll keep doing my service. I'll keep giving the classes as long as everyone keeps giving me new computers. This is devotional service in the mode of passion. Okay, so, and then he says devotional service in the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness is desirable. It's a desirable platform to perform devotional service on. But in and of itself, it is not pure devotional service. So he analyzes, he says, when a devotee worships Krishna and offers the results of his activities in order to free himself from the inebrieties of fruitive activities, his devotional service is in the mode of goodness. So what does that mean? Yeah, he desires liberation. Very good. Yeah, he desires liberation. When we do devotional service, but we're doing it because we just want to get out of this material world. Do you ever feel like that? Right? I feel like that every day. Yeah, Krishna, I'll serve you. No problem. But you make sure you get me out of this at the end. Sometimes I think like that. You know, I do service. And I do a lot of service for Krishna sometimes. You know, really give myself to Krishna. But at the end, you know, when I go to bed, I lay on the pillow and I say, you're welcome, no problem. You make sure I get out of here at the end. I don't want to take birth here again. You make sure. And Krishna's like looking at me like, you're telling me? It's not really up to you. It's up to me. Maybe I'll put you through it all again. How do you like that? Not very appealing. But that's it. That's devotional service in the mode of goodness. We'll serve, but we want everything to be comfortable. Right? But devotional service is never going to be comfortable. Right? Suffering will come. Right? I was in a class the last time my guru came to Australia, 2000, I think it was. Beginning of 2001. Yeah, very beginning of 2001 when he came. So he gave a class in Sydney, and Indradumna Swami was sitting there, and Tamal Krishnamurti spoke. And at the end, Indradumna Swami put up his hand. He said, is it possible to go back to Godhead without suffering? Because Tamal Krishnamurti had been through a lot of suffering. He just had cancer and, you know, a lot of suffering. And Indradumna Swami had been through a lot of suffering. He'd been hit by a car and, you know, so many. And Maharaj just went through cancer himself. So he says, is it possible to go back to Godhead without suffering? Tamal Krishnamurti said, no. It was very deep between the two of them. Yeah, and they looked at each other. You could see it was a very deep exchange. But they said, no, it's not possible. Because through the suffering, that is Krishna purifying you of your last material desires. So it will come. You don't have to worry. It's not going to come probably for a while. For most of us. You can wait. But it will come. Intense suffering will come. But that will release us from our material attachments in this world. So in the mode of goodness, it's not that. So then, Kapila Dev, now he goes even higher in this verse, which we're speaking today. So he says that pure devotional service has to be devoid even for spiritual desires. Right? You can't even desire these four things. Right? Sarupya, Samipya, Shashti, and Salokya. So, if you're motivated to get all these things, that's not pure devotional service either. But what is guaranteed is that if you render pure devotional service, you get these four automatically. Yeah? What is Salokya?
Same planet,
yeah. Same place. It means you go and live on the same planet as Krishna. If you do pure devotional service, Krishna takes you back to Goloka or Vaikuntha, and you will be on the same planet. You'll see him every day. So you'll get that automatically. But if you want that, then Krishna may withhold it. But you will get it. Sarupya, what does Sarupya mean? Yeah, similar form. What is Krishna's form like? It is beautiful. What will you get in the spiritual world? We all get beautiful forms. We look, it's very similar to Krishna. Everyone in the spiritual world has the same form practically as Krishna. Right? Everyone there is just full of beauty, youth, vitality. You're going to be 16 forever. Think about it. Does it sound attractive? Okay, well, if you're not into it, that's okay. That's what's going to happen. You're going to get a 16-year-old body forever. Right? No backaches, no toothaches, no headaches, nothing. Right? Just a pure spiritual body to serve Krishna. You will get that. Right? If you don't desire it, Krishna will give it to you. Right, Samipya. What is Samipya? Close proximity. Means you can see him every day. Right? You can render service to him. You'll see him there every day. You'll be part of his village. Right? And Shashti. Means? Opulence. Yeah, everything that he gets. You live in his world. His world is unlimitedly opulent and you get to live there with him. So you get to experience everything. The same food that Krishna eats every day, you eat the same food every day. I mean, we're already doing that here in this temple. Actually, if you look at it, we're doing the same thing. Right? Everything he gets to eat, we get to eat. Right? Except after some time you can't eat it anymore. Because we don't have a spiritual form. You know, I used to eat everything that came off the altar. It's like, you know, when I was a brahmacharya, it was just like everything that came up, just like boom, 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 boom. You know, we used to go on Harinam on Friday nights. You know, the temple was quieter back then. We used to come back and the 9 o'clock offering would come off and then we would get back just after that. And it was about four of us, four brahmacharis, and we would take a vow we wouldn't go to sleep until we'd eaten the whole offering. So I don't know how many puris that is. There must be like about 8 puris each or something. And, you know, so we eat 8 puris, all the subji, right? All the ladders, the milk, everything. Then we go and take rest. If I did that now, I wouldn't get up for 2 days. But back then, you know, that's what we do. So we got to take everything that Krishna gets, we get. So that is called shashti. So now, Kapila Dev is saying, you have to give up every desire to enjoy, both spiritually and materially. Now, you have to give up all desires to enjoy independently from Krishna, materially, but also spiritually. What is the only thing that we can say to Krishna? Dasosmi, I am your servant. What can I do for you? What service do you require? Gopi Bhatu Pada Kamala Yo Dasa Dasa Anudasa. Let me serve your servant. Just give me one of your servants, tell me which one it is, I will serve them. Right? And then I'll render service to them, they'll pass that service to you. That's all we're meant for. So when that becomes our only desire, we go back to Krishna. Well, Prabhupada says, you may be living in this material world, but you're already with Krishna. Prabhupada said one time, don't try to see Krishna in the bushes of Vrindavan. Don't go to Vrindavan looking for Krishna. He said, you'll find Krishna in the order of the spiritual master. Where is Krishna? For us, he's in the order of the guru. Prabhupada said, the order of the spiritual master is the life and soul of the disciple. Just like Prabhupada gave us, because Prabhupada is our guru, he is his founder acharya, he's a shiksha guru for everyone in ISKCON. He said 16 rounds a day and 4 regular the principles. That's our commitment, right? So we follow that as an offering to Prabhupada. Prabhupada actually said, if you do that, I'll take you back to Godhead in this lifetime. Because that's not easy in Kali Yuga. So if you do that sincerely, you can transcend this material world. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments on what we discussed?
Yeah. You say we have to see Krishna in every situation, in everything we have, and this person this is see Krishna in bad things, in bad situations, I can think that I should learn from these. What about the situations that appear to be good? How do you interpret that this is coming from Krishna anyway?
Prabhupada says in the Gita, in one of his purports, he said that when a devotee suffers, he thinks that I should get much worse. That should be our mentality. When we're suffering, we should think I should get much worse. To be honest, I don't really think like that. When I'm suffering, I just think, why is this happening? But when you're more advanced, that's how you think. You think, it should be much worse. I deserve much worse. And then Prabhupada says, when something good happens for the devotee thinks, I do not deserve this. But Krishna is very kind. So he gives like that. So that's how you should think. It's okay? So both are correct. It's not that what I said is incorrect. Both are correct. What you're saying is correct, and what I'm saying is also correct. See, how do we understand Krishna's will? Through the devotees. That's how we understand Krishna's will. Yeah, Krishna's will also comes to us, you know, by super soul within the heart. That's true. But primarily, we understand Krishna's will through the devotees and through the guru. Primarily. So that's why we have to listen. We have to cooperate with the devotees. If the devotees are saying something, we ignore that, then that's not Krishna's will. And you'll see everything will become inauspicious. Any other? Yeah.
What's the difference between a
association of Krishna and Vaikuntha and in association of Krishna and Vrindavan?
They're very different. Because Krishna doesn't live in Vaikuntha. Lord Lord Narayan lives in Vaikuntha. It's Krishna's expansion. Krishna lives in Goloka Vrindavan. In Goloka, you know the five rasas?
Yeah.
In devotional service? So in Goloka Vrindavan, there is only the higher three rasas in relation to Krishna. You can be Krishna's friend, his father, or his lover. Right? In Vaikuntha, there is only Dasya Ras, which means you are Lord Narayan's servant. But you can't be his friend, you can't be his mother or father, and you can't be his lover. So the mood is different in the two places. Yeah, you can.
But we cannot, because in the material world, we only have one rasa, we only need a servant of Krishna. So who's making the choice?
No, it means that you're saying in the material world you only have one rasa to serve Krishna. That's because you're not advanced yet. Right. In the beginning, you just serve Lord Chaitanya. You spread the Sankirtan movement. That's your service. That's all you do. Right. But as you become more advanced, within your heart, the desire to understand your eternal relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world, as a friend or as a parent or as a lover, that begins to manifest as your heart becomes purified. Cheto, darpana, marjana. So in the future, that will manifest naturally. That's the goal of our devotional service. The goal of devotional service is to understand our eternal relationship with Krishna. So in the beginning, you do your service, you spread the Sankirtan movement, but after some time, by mercy from Prabhupada and your guru, then that will begin to manifest, that desire within your heart. So then even though you're living in this world, but still you're desiring to enter a particular relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world. How is that decided? It's already there. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. It just means you've forgotten your relationship with Krishna. But one day that will manifest in your consciousness again. And it'll become a very strong desire. I want to serve Krishna in this particular way. Does that answer your question?
Yep.
You want to know more?
That's a good one. No.
Okay. Good. Any other question? Yeah, sometimes we suffer because of our own foolishness. Sometimes we do something wrong because of our own foolishness or ignorance, and then how can we say that's Krishna's arrangement because we did it? So it's a very good question. Krishna is so expert that when you do something stupid, he can then deal with that and make an arrangement for you to learn something. So you're right, it came from you, it didn't come from Krishna. But now that's what you're dealing with now because you made a mistake. So now Krishna will deal in such a way to purify you and to elevate you in consciousness. Is that okay? Yeah. Just like last week, I became angry at my daughter. And that was my fault, it was her fault, I mean, she was doing something wrong. But I became too angry, more angry than what I should. So that was my problem. And my wife really got on my case. Said, hey, don't you do like that. So then I went away and I thought about it. I thought, yeah, I made the mistake here. Right? But then I saw that Krishna, because I'd made a mistake, then he took the situation and he taught me different things from that situation. So then it helped me to improve. And then I saw my daughter, even though I had acted in the way which... it wasn't exactly the way I wanted to act towards her, but I saw it also, Krishna made the situation, it did help her to improve also. So sometimes we make a mistake, but Krishna is so expert that regardless of what we do, he will make something positive out of it, if we're willing to learn, I suppose. Is that okay? Yeah. Don't get too angry at your kids. I know it's difficult. But you have to do it. Not easy. They test you like anything. So.
Can you please elaborate on Vedic Bhakti and Vatanuga Bhakti?
The difference between the two. Vaidhi Bhakti means bhakti which is motivated or governed by rules and regulations. In other words, I have to do it. There's a rule there, I have to do it. Rag literally means like spontaneity. So it means I don't have to serve Krishna, I want to serve Krishna. So the motivation is coming from a different... So generally, if one is based on awe and reverence, and one is based on love and spontaneity, Vaidhi Sadhana is also based on love, but it's infused or mixed with awe and reverence. And it's mixed with fear. Right? So that if you maintain that mood of devotion all the way to the highest destination, to when you develop full love for Krishna, but still based on awe and reverence and fear, then that leads to Vaikuntha. And if one serves Krishna out of spontaneous love, and then gradually you rise to the elevation, rise to the platform of prema, or love for Krishna, but it's spontaneous. I just want to be his friend, I just want to be his mother, I just want to be his... And that's your mood, your his lover. That will lead to Goloka. So Raganuga generally leads to Goloka, and Vaidhi Sandha, if the mood is maintained, it will lead to Vaikuntha. Is that okay? Yeah. That's a general basic understanding. So, any other question? Go on.
Generally, we know that the demons were killed by Krishna. They gave the entered into Brahma Jyoti, and they did that same oneness or the same features or other things. Now, we also know that once your pious acts are over, the Brahma Jyoti will come down. Now, when Krishna killed Bodhis, he would like to give some pious acts to the demons and sense that more.
No, it's not to do with pious credits. It's once you get in there, sometimes it's described as spiritual suicide. Because once you're in there, sometimes you don't come out. Some souls virtually just stay there. But then it's not about pious credits because everything's destroyed then. The karma is not involved at that point because it's liberation. You're outside of the material energy. But your soul, because the soul is active, you may feel... Now I'm getting bored. You know, I've been sitting here for like 10 million years and it's like, yeah, what do you do next? It's like being on an island by yourself. So then if that desire comes, then you may come back into the material world. And then Prabhupada says you become a philanthropist, like a Sai Baba or something. You go and open hospitals and do all these kind of things, but you're a Mayavadi, so then you have to overcome that consciousness. So that's why it's considered very dangerous, because I have heard, it's described in different ways, but I have heard sometimes it's explained you may not come back. So you've got to be careful about, it could be an eternal damnation, so to speak. You know, but if you try, I mean, if you have the desire, then Krishna will always let you come back and you can rectify yourself. There was a conversation actually up in Prabhupada's room with Madhudwiza Prabhu. He was speaking to Prabhupada and he said, because sometimes it says we come from the Brahma Jyoti originally, and then sometimes it says we fell from the spiritual world, and then they said, which one is it? So Prabhupada explained it that you come from the spiritual world, you fall into this material world. Originally we were with Krishna, we fell, but then sometimes you go into the Brahma Jyoti, you're there for practically forever, and then you fall back in again. So then Prabhupada said you could explain it both ways. You know, maybe we've been up and, you know. You see when someone's mind's out of control, they're all over the place. You know, watch the kids, they can't sit still, they're like doing this, like this. So since we got to the material world, it's like that. You know, we've been here, we've been demigods, we've been pigs, you know, we've been aardvarks, we've been giraffes. You know, we've been to the Brahma Jyoti, we came back. It's like we're schizophrenic. But we don't know what we are or who we are. We're just like, we're going here, we're going there, we're doing this, we're doing that. And now, You know, I mean, we always say this, but sooner or later we really have to realize that now we've got an opportunity. You know, it was Mahaprabhu's appearance. So whenever there's a class on Mahaprabhu, everyone says, you know, this is the rarest opportunity. This happens once in a day of Brahma. That, you know, this, but I mean, one day that really has to be understood. Yeah, I mean, we have to understand what this is, the opportunity. And if we take advantage of this, we go, and then we don't have to worry about this whole problem that we're going through in the material world. So, any other question? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.